You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back once again at our beautiful, shiny, very well-lit studio here in Henderson, Nevada. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And we are feeling good this week. The sun is shining out here in Vegas, 75 and sunny. This is the Vegas I was promised when I moved here. No one told me about the winters. Oh, it's going to be 35 degrees. Oh, you're going to be shivering your timbers off. No one told me about that. They told me about 75 and sunny in February, though, and I am digging that. I like it a lot. My spirits are good. My skin is refreshed. You just feel better when it's 75 and sunny, said many a wise man. But we got a good show today. Like I said, the energy is good. The energy is strong. We are fired up. And in just a few minutes, we are going to welcome in, I say this a lot, but I genuinely mean this one, one of our favorite people in the building, offensive coordinator Greg Olson, a.k.a. Oli. Three letters. That's all you need for him. We're going to talk to Oli, and we are really excited. And Oli was so good with us, very generous with his time today on a record this. When do we record this? Today's Wednesday. Yeah. On a Wednesday afternoon, fresh off of a workout. And we talk about all things with Oli. We talk about another offseason now, living the virtual life, kind of where he wants this offense to get better in 2021. And we just have a little bit of fun with him, too, because like I said, Oli is our guy, and we are very, very, very excited to talk to him. In addition to that, when we're done talking to Oli, because Oli is, he is the marquee guy. He's our big hitter for the week. But after we talk with Oli, stick around because I'm going to deliver my love song to the city of Indianapolis. Because, guys, I'm bummed out this week. I'm a little sad. Yes, things are beautiful here in Vegas, but I'm not with my pals drinking cheap beer at Kilroy's in Indianapolis. Because, as we all know, there is no 2021 NFL Scouting Combine. For obvious reasons, for reasons I understand and look, you know, I preach the health and safety thing, so I get it. Not the smartest idea to have people from all around the country gathering in an indoor city, essentially in Indy. But I'm bummed, man. I miss my guys. I miss, I haven't seen Booby in, gosh, has it been a year? I think it's been about a year since I saw the great KMM in person. Our whole crew, those of you who've been riding with us for a minute, know how much we enjoy the Combine just as an event. We get a lot done. It's a lot of fun to be there. It's a very productive time for us. But we get to, not only hang out together, get some good, good departmental time, but we get to see our friends around the league. And unfortunately, that is not the case. So after we talk to Oli, after we wrap that up, I will just kind of, deliver my song, share a piece of my heart, break it off for the good city of Indianapolis. But before all that, as I said, we're going heavy with our good friend Oli today. So without further ado, enjoy our conversation with Las Vegas Raiders offensive coordinator Greg Olson. And we are so excited to welcome in our pal, and I can say friend of the program now, offensive coordinator Greg Olson. And Oli, you see us now. We're in our new, beautiful, very well-lit studio here on the second floor. And I know you're in the building, so where are you now?
We're on the second floor.
Oh, okay.
Well. We're on the second floor, so I'm not exactly sure. You're just, what would you be, maybe north of us, I believe.
Geography is not my strong suit.
I think you're locked out. You have special access code to get into this side.
I know. Security Bob is going to make sure that I stay on my side of things over here on the second floor. And that's why
there's no question.
Yeah, and that's why he's the best.
Too many leaks coming out of your podcast.
Oh, don't say that. I feel like I was just getting to a good place, too, where no one was mad at me. And now people are going to hear that, Oli said there's a lot of leaks on the pod. But
careful.
I know. I'll be careful. But, Oli, this would have been the week of the Combine. And is it kind of weird that I miss, the city of Indianapolis? Like, I miss this week. It's such a fun week. It's such an important week for a lot of reasons. But it's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, very important week, obviously, number one. The chance to evaluate players and to interview players in a formal process and to see them all in one place so you can kind of compare guys back to back to back, an important part of the evaluation process. So more than anything, that's the biggest loss in not getting to go there, but also a chance to reconnect, with friends that coach in the league, different colleagues that maybe you've worked with on different teams. So It's, you know, you get a lot of things done there, and it's a shame really that we're unable to do it here. So
I know, but you know, bigger and better things, I guess, for the combine in 2022, I should say. But you know, you head into another offseason now, as crazy as it sounds, another offseason of what looks like it's going to be a lot of, you know, virtual work, you know, kind of having conversations like we're having right now over Zoom. Do you guys as a staff, I imagine you have to feel so much more prepared and able to kind of thrive in that, because you already did it once a year ago.
Obviously, it will be easier this time around. You'd like to think that you got through most of the glitches that we had last season and really in the last offseason. And for us, again, fortunately, and especially on our side of football, with not a lot of new faces and the same system, it'll be much easier for us than the defensive side, where you have a new coaching staff and you'll have a number of new faces. So feel good about it right now. Not sure yet what the offseason program is going to be, or whether or not they're going to allow the players back in the building. But if not, I think we have a plan. And again, we were able to kind of do a dry run last year and fix any of the issues that we had, and we should be better this year.
And I'm sure you guys are like all of us, where you're dying to have, you know, any semblance of normal, even if it's not what it was like in the before times, as we call them. I mean, you know, at least some semblance of normal would be nice. But, you know, Coach, you talked about that continuity on offense of a lot of the same faces, and, you know, you look at, you know, practically every metric you could come up with, and the offense in 2020 was a top 10 offense. And yes, I understand there's room to get better, and, you know, that's kind of the goal of any coach across the league, is to make your group better headed into the next year. But Do you kind of approach the offseason, I don't want to say differently, but how do you approach it knowing that you guys did have so much success last year and there were so many things that did work?
No, every season is different, and you never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. So there's a lot of things, as you mentioned, that we could have done better. And the good thing is that we think we have a group of players that also feel that they're not even close to their ceiling. So we'll go back, and we're in the process right now. We're just going through the offensive cut-ups, self-scout cut-ups with Coach Gruden, and we're about to finish those up to kind of look at the things that we did, both well and not so well. So we'll make adjustments on some of the things that we did, but at the same time, we're also looking at maybe other concepts or other run game schemes throughout the league that may fit, you know, our personnel. So that's what we spend a lot of time on this time of year. Again, is looking at our self-scout, and then also looking at other teams' offenses and trying to steal some ideas, whether it be from college teams or NFL teams. Because we're evaluating the draft players, so you know you're watching a lot of different college offenses, and we always encourage our coaches that if you see something that you think might fit what we do or fit our personnel, then make sure that you save that clip, and we'll make sure we look at it as a staff. So again, trying to get better, not trying to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that self-scouting period, and just how important is that, especially at this time of the year? You mentioned you're also watching college tape, you're getting ready for the draft, as crazy as that sounds as well, because, you know, we're, gosh, already late February, as wild as that is. But how important is it now to, you know, have this group of time or this chunk of time to really go back and see what worked and what didn't work in 2020?
Yeah, extremely important. Like I said, and for us, we'd like to believe most of our personnel will be returning. Very few players that are free agents right now, and we're hoping to sign the ones that are. So it makes it a little bit easier knowing what personnel you're going to be working with and what they do well, and how do we expand upon their strengths and someone eliminate some of the weaknesses that they may have. And again, mold the offense to our personnel and the strengths that our players have. And that's a big thing right now that we have going for us, is most of our players are returning. So we're really excited to get started on it and get our guys back in here so they can get working and just continue to get better every day.
And speaking of guys that are coming back, the man in the middle of that offensive line, Rodney Hudson, you know, if this is the time of the year where, and I know you guys probably don't care too much, but you see all these incredible stats that come out, all these PFF stats and all these kind of analytic things, and by almost every metric, Rodney is just performs. It seems like his trajectory is just up and up and up and up, which is great. But I feel like he doesn't get enough kind of recognition and respect around the league. And I know that he's kind of a soft-spoken guy. He's not a me guy, which I'm sure all of you folks love. But why is it that Rodney, year after year, is so underrated at what he does?
You know, I don't know about the underrated part. You know, I know that when I have a chance to visit with our opponents, coaching staffs before or after a game, he's always one of the first players that's mentioned. And you look at the respect that he gets from the players throughout the league mm-hmm. as well, and the number of Pro Bowls that he's been voted to. So it's a shame if some people underrate him or don't value him the way the league does, the way the players do, and the way the coaches do in this league, because he's obviously a force for us up front. He's like a quarterback of the offensive line. He gets everything set, makes all the calls. So he's very, very valuable piece of our offense, and we're just real fortunate to have him.
Well, that makes me happy that at least around the league, Rodney's getting his respect. Because, you know, Coach, I spend too much time on Twitter. I know that. I know I spend too much time looking at the tweets and the posts.
Reading too much what the media says.
I know. I fall victim to it. So I'm glad that the people that really matter may, you know, kind of hold Rodney in that type of esteem. But just wrapping it up here with Greg Olson. And Ola, you talked about on the offensive side of the ball, so much continuity, so many faces coming back in 2021. But you also said defensively, there's going to be a lot of changes. And those changes start with Gus Bradley. What has it been like to have Coach Bradley in the mix and to have a new face, a new energy in that coaching room?
Well, first of all, he's a good friend. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. Obviously, I work for him in Jacksonville. I just think the world of the man. I think the world of the coach. And excited to have him on board. And again, he's bringing some coaches that coach with him on his staff with the Chargers. So there will be some continuity within the coaching staff. And I think that's important too. You know, as you know, we lost Frank Smith to the Chargers and we were able to elevate from within the staff, which really has made for a smooth transition for us on our side of the ball offensively by moving Austin King to the tight end position has helped us. So, they'll have some continuity on defense. I know they're hard at work every day, and Coach Gruden's had a chance to be in there in their meetings every day. So they as well are eager to get started and eager to put together, you know, the pieces of the puzzle per se that, will be the core of their defense. So it'll be nice to get the players back so they get a chance to meet this new staff, but I know they'll be impressed by them.
Yeah, and like you said, we're all excited to just have football back. I mean, it's crazy to say that, you know, the Super Bowl was, gosh, less than a month ago, and we're already like, all right, when's it time to go again? So, Coach, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for for carving out a little bit of your schedule. I'll make sure I stay on my side of the building, though, for the next couple weeks. But I'm hopeful that one day we'll be able to do one of these in person.
And stay off of Twitter.
Stay
off of Twitter.
And I'll stay off of Twitter, too. Thank you, Coach.
All right, Eddie. Appreciate you.
And a big, big, big sincere thank you to Ole, who, as I said, one of my favorite people in the building, a man who was always a yes to us, and I immensely appreciate that. So, as I said, big thank you to Ole for his time. And before we kind of wrap the show up, before we crack a cold one, you know, kind of put our bow on this week, and as I said, deliver a love song to the city of Indianapolis. Let's just hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
So yeah, guys, like I said, the sun here is beautiful. The scenery here is 10 out of 10. The vibrations are good. I'm feeling good. But in me, there is some sadness. And that sadness is because I'm not an Indy. And yes, every time we go to Indianapolis, it's like 12 degrees, it's snowy, it's really miserable weather-wise every time we go. It's never been nice in Indy during this time of the year when we go to the Combine. But it doesn't matter, because that is the magic of Indy. You don't care if it's snowing, you don't care if it's raining and sleet and everything's wet and cold. It doesn't matter, because for a week in February, and I guess technically, you know, that first couple of days of March, depending on how the calendar falls, the capital of the NFL world is in Indiana. And we are lucky to bask in its glory. So what do I miss about Indy? Number one, I miss all the people. I miss seeing our guys here. I miss seeing our crew, our digital squad, all of them. but I also miss our friends around the league. I miss our friends from the network. I miss seeing our pals at the other teams. I miss it all. I miss the people. And I've missed people for about a year now. And it's pretty, you know, it's not chill that I'm still missing people after a year. It bums me out. Hashtag wear a mask. But in addition to the people, so this is my power rankings. People one, number two, I miss the deals in Indy. Those of you know who've listened to the show for some time know that I love a good bargain. I love a sale. I don't like buying things full price unless I absolutely have to. I'm what we call a bargain shopper. And that really extends to, well, basically everything in my life. If I could find a way to buy a house like 25% off, I would do it. I digress. But going back to Indy, I have never seen a city that has as many deals as Indianapolis during the week of the combine. I remember the first time we went there, this was 2017, 2018, a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. We went out, we enjoyed a dinner, we were drinking some ice cold bruchachos, and we got the bill for said bruchachos. And I kid you not, I nearly fainted. I nearly did when I saw the bill. This was for like six people, maybe five, you know, five or six folks. And the bill was like $27. At the time, we were living in the Bay Area. I was like, that's the price of like a nice cocktail somewhere. And we just had six people here, had a couple rounds. It was like $27. And I was beside myself. I was like, this is the greatest city on earth. And it doesn't stop in Indy. You go to any restaurant during the week of the combine, excluding St. Elmo's, I think, because I'm pretty sure they always charge full price. But it's another thing I missed too, just in a second. But you go anywhere. And it's deal after deal after bargain, buy two, get one free, buy three, get four free. It's incredible. The deals are second to none. And it just, it brings a smile to my face. It's that beautiful Midwestern hospitality that frankly you don't see enough these days. And I love it. Oh, I love it so much. And another thing I miss the shrimp cocktail from St. Elmo. I miss it more than I should, to be honest with you guys. I'll tell anyone that'll listen to me. I've told friends, I've told family, I've told the boss on multiple occasions, and she really doesn't care at this point because every year I tell her, before you die, go to the city of Indianapolis, go to St. Elmo's, order the shrimp cocktail, change your life. Because it is a culinary experience like no other. I can't even do justice in describing it. The shrimp itself, delicious. A good-sized shrimp. You don't want a small one. You want a nice, healthy shrimp with your shrimp cocktail. The shrimp is 10 out of 10. I don't know where they get shrimp. I don't know if there's fresh water or an ocean in Indianapolis. I'm unsure of that. I will have to clarify. But wherever they get the shrimp, it's superb. But really what brings it home is the cocktail sauce. And my goodness, as I said, I cannot do an accurate job describing the feelings it made me feel. It was like being on a roller coaster and you're going up, tick, 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 and you know it's coming, the flavor is coming. Oh, here we go, tick, 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 tick. The excitement, it's building. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling things I haven't felt since I was a child. Tick, 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 tick. And then you eat it and then you give it about 10 seconds. Down you go. Boom. A flavor explosion that I kid you not, you feel from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. It is incredible. The first time I had it, I nearly had like a full body convulsion. And I'm addicted. And every year around this time, I get my fix. Not this year. So this sick man will have to wait until 2022. Because I don't think we go to Indy this year. I'm like 99% sure that we don't. But now I gotta wait. Gotta keep waiting for that sweet cocktail sauce once again. And I know I'm not the only person that feels like this. In our department, I know that there are people that have had practically religious experiences eating this shrimp cocktail. And oh, it is so good, and I miss it so much. I miss it so much. I miss seeing our pals. I miss going to Kilroy's. I miss shrimp cocktail. Where else do I miss? St. Elmo, obviously, the Eagle, they have incredible fried chicken, shout out KMM, that's his favorite spot. I miss it all, but I just miss the energy. I miss being in Indy. It feels like Disneyland for a week. Cold, icy football Disneyland. So Indy, stay safe this week. I'm thinking of you, and I'll see you in 2022. And on that note, let's just crack a quick ice-cold Coors Light before we get out of here. And not to go too somber, because I'm a man of celebration, as you know. Like I said, I'm feeling good this week. I'm going to crack one ice-cold Coors Light to a man who really, he's done it all. The great Eldrick Tiger Woods. And you couldn't turn the TV on earlier this week without seeing news of his crash, his incident, his accident. But it sounds like the Tiger will pull through. And our social czar and close personal friend of mine, Matt Walks, told me he was excited to see the comeback of Tiger. He was excited that we would get a third chapter of the Tiger. And I don't know if this comeback is going to entail golf. I really don't. I mean, let's be honest. Tiger is not a young man. But if there's anyone who can come back from a type of injury like this, I'm going to say it's the Tiger. But I digress, because, as I said, that's not the important part of yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was. The important part is that Tiger's still with us. He's still able to be a father to his kids. He's still able to, you know, live a full and healthy life. And really, that's all that matters. So Tiger, a fan, a member of Raider Nation, this one is for you. And on that note, Freddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, our guest this week, a man of simply one name, Oli, and our pal Alexandra behind the glass, making us sound so much better than we do in real life, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will catch you guys next week for another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.